And I'll bet that she had no idea that one day her great-grandson would own her Bible. Back together again. Hi, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. You're looking good today. Thank you for joining me. This is the Daily Show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. And today we're going to read 2 Kings 21 through 25, which will complete the book. After we read, I'll have some comments, and I'm calling this episode A Treasure for Future Generations. Today's show notes page is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E216. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's get started. 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. He rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his son as an offering, and used fortune-telling and omens, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of Asherah that he had made, he set in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander any more out of the land that I gave to their fathers, if only they will be careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they did not listen, and Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. And the Lord said by his servants the prophets, Because Manasseh king of Judah has committed these abominations, and has done things more evil than all that the Amorites did, who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing upon Jerusalem and Judah such disaster that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria, and the plumb line of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my heritage, and give them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done what is evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger, since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin that he had made Judah to sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and the sin that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Heres of Jotbah. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He walked in all the way in which his father walked, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and put the king to death in his house. But the people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his place. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters, and to the builders, and to the masons, and let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Isaiah, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Harhaz, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me, and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands, therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back word to the king. 2 Kings chapter 23. Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. And he deposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem, those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the constellations, and all the host of the heavens. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and beat it to dust, and cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. And he broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings, from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. However, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. And he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun, at the entrance to the house of the Lord, by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the precincts. And he burned all the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, he pulled down and broke in pieces, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he broke in pieces the pillars, and cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place erected by Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, that altar with the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust. He also burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed, who had predicted these things. Then he said, "What is that monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and predicted these things that you have done against the altar at Bethel." And he said, "Let him be, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophet who came out of Samaria. And Josiah removed all the shrines also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel. And he sacrificed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, "Keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant." For no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who judged Israel, or during all the days of the kings of Israel or the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away all the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Still, the Lord did not turn from the burning of his great wrath, by which his anger was kindled against Judah, because all of the provocations which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, "I will remove Judah also from my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off this city that I have chosen, Jerusalem, and the house of which I said, 'My name shall be there.'" Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up to the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. King Josiah went to meet him, and Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo as soon as he saw him. And his servants carried him dead in a chariot from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, and made him king in his father's place. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bonds at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and laid on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim the son of Josiah king in the place of Josiah his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But he took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, from everyone according to his assessment, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebaida, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. 2 Kings chapter 24. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the Ammonites, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by his servants the prophets. Surely this came upon Judah at the command of the Lord, to remove him out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood that he had shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the deeds of Jehoiakim, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come again out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt, from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up to Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, gave himself up to the king of Babylon, himself and his mother and his servants and his officials and his palace officials. The king of Babylon took him prisoner in the 8th year of his reign, and carried off all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold in the temple of the Lord, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made, as the Lord had foretold. He carried away all Jerusalem, and all the officials, and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon. The king's mother, the king's wives, his officials, and the chief men of the land he took into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon all the men of valor, 7,000, and the craftsmen and the metal workers, 1,000, all of them strong and fit for war. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, it came to the point in Jerusalem and Judah that he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. 2 Kings chapter 25. Now Zedekiah rebelled against the Babylonian king. So in the 9th year of Zedekiah's rule, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem with his entire army. He camped beside the city and built a siege wall all around it. The city was under attack until King Zedekiah's 11th year. On the 9th day of the month, the famine in the city got so bad that no food remained for the common people. Then the enemy broke into the city. All the soldiers fled by night using the gate between the two walls near the king's garden. The Chaldeans were surrounding the city, so the soldiers ran toward the desert plain. But the Chaldean army chased King Zedekiah and caught up with him in the Jericho plains. His entire army deserted him. So the Chaldeans captured the king and brought him back to the Babylonian king, who was at Riblah. There his punishment was determined. Zedekiah's sons were slaughtered right before his eyes. Then he was blinded, put in bronze chains, and taken off to Babylon. On the seventh day, in the fifth month, in the 19th year of Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan arrived at Jerusalem. He was the commander of the guard and an official of the Babylonian king. He burned down the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and all of Jerusalem's houses. He burned down every important building. The whole Chaldean army, under the commander of the guard, tore down the walls surrounding Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, exiled the people who were left in the city, those who had already surrendered to Babylon's king, and the rest of the population. The commander of the guard left some of the land's poor people behind to work the vineyards and be farmers. The Chaldeans shattered the bronze columns, the stands, and the bronze sea that were in the Lord's temple. They carried the bronze off to Babylon. They also took the pots, the shovels, the wick trimmers, the dishes, and all the bronze items that had been used in the temple. The commander of the guard took the fire pans and the sprinkling bowls, which were made of pure gold and pure silver. The bronze and all these objects, the two pillars, the sea, and the stands that Solomon had made for the Lord's temple, was too heavy to weigh. Each pillar was 27 feet high. The bronze capital on top of the first pillar was 4.5 feet high. Decorative lattices and pomegranates, all made from bronze, were around the capital. And the second pillar was decorated with lattices just like the first. The commander of the guard also took away Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the priest next in rank, and the three doorkeepers. Of those still left in the city, Nebuzaradan took away an officer who was in charge of the army and five royal advisors who were discovered in the city. He also took away the secretary of the officer responsible for drafting the land's people to fight, as well as 60 people who were discovered in the city. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, took all of these people and brought them to the Babylonian king at Riblah. The king of Babylon struck them down, killing them in Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was exiled from its land. Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar put Gedaliah, Ahikam's son and Shaphan's grandson, in charge of the people he had left behind in the land of Judah. All the army officers and their soldiers heard that the Babylonian king had appointed Gedaliah as governor, so they came with their men to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The officers were Ishmael, Nethaniah's son, Johanan, Kareah's son, Seraiah, Tanhumeth's son, who was a Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, Maacathite's son. Gedaliah made a solemn pledge to them and their soldiers, telling them, "Don't be afraid of the Chaldean officials. Stay in the land and serve the Babylonian king, and things will go well for you." But in the seventh month, Ishmael, Nethaniah's son, and Elishama's grandson, who was from the royal family, came with 10 soldiers, and they struck Gedaliah, and he died. They also killed the Judeans and the Chaldeans who were with him in Mizpah. Then all the people, young and old, along with the army officers, departed for Egypt because they were afraid of the Chaldeans. In the year that Evil-Merodach became king of Babylon, he released Judah's king Jehoiakim from prison. This happened in the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, on the 27th day of the 12th month. Evil-Merodach spoke kindly to Jehoiakim and seated him above the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim took off his prisoner clothes and ate regularly in the king's presence for the rest of his life. At the king's command, a regular food allowance was given to him every day for the rest of his life. Today I've got comments on chapters 22, 23, and 25. In chapter 22, we see that Hilkiah the high priest found the book of the law of the temple. Well, let's take a look at the context of this discovery. The last righteous king before Josiah, who was the king that ordered Hilkiah to begin repairing the now dilapidated temple, was Hezekiah. 57 years passed between the end of Hezekiah's reign and the beginning of Josiah's reign, and it was in the 18th year of Josiah's reign that he began the repairs. Well, that means that the temple had been neglected for 75 years. It's no wonder that the book of the law had been lost, right? It was probably even forgotten. And it's quite probable that it was the only existing copy of God's law. Think of it. At this point, there were hundreds of years of Jewish history from the time that God gave Moses the tablets after miraculously delivering them from Egypt's Pharaoh, to King David, to Solomon's building of the temple, and on up until this King Josiah decides that the temple must be repaired.
God was certainly gracious that he preserved this document. And now think about this. Every copy since then came from that long-lost book. The Bible that you hold in your hand is a treasure. It's life. It is the Word of the living God. And if it had not been for Josiah's decision to repair the temple, who knows where we'd be today? But of course, God was, and he always is, faithful. Now, I'm a guy that likes technology. I love that we have access to just about every version and every translation of the Bible because of the internet. They're available on our desktop computers, our notebook computers, our phones, our tablets, and most of them are free. I love it. But I deeply believe that everyone who calls him or herself a believer should own at least one hard copy of the Bible. Because what happens if we no longer have access to those electronic copies? It could happen. Internet censorship is real in some areas of the world, and it could spread. As a matter of fact, I believe that when the Antichrist takes over, he's going to make it so that Bibles will disappear from whatever the internet is at that time. So then where would we be? We'll only have the printed word. Even if that doesn't happen in our lifetime, we should still have at least one printed Bible. There's something special about holding the book in your hands. It is truly an awesome experience to leaf through the pages of a well-worn Bible and discover God's truths. I've got shelves full of Bibles sitting within easy reach of me right now, just 4.5 feet away. Each copy is special, but I've got a couple of Bibles that I dearly love, and one of them belonged to my great-grandmother. She wrote notes in it as she read, and she has the dates of the three times that she read through from Genesis to Revelation. And I'll bet that she had no idea that one day her great-grandson would own her Bible. And I'll pass that Bible along to generations following me. Who knows how many generations will have had her Bible to look at, to read, to see what her notes are. That's amazing. It makes me want to cry right now. So the question is, will your descendants have a treasure like that? They could if you have a hard copy of the Bible and you make notes and you pass it along to your descendants. What a treasure. So my recommendation for you is to have a printed Bible. Write in it. Make notes. Keep a sort of spiritual diary in it. Talk to generations yet unborn. Now, in chapter 23, we see that the good and righteous King Josiah did everything possible to thoroughly remove every unclean and unholy and idolatrous item from the land. He went to great lengths to be sure that there was nothing left or that could ever be recovered that was against the law of God. Take note that Josiah did this after God had declared through the prophetess Huldah that he would bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants because they'd forsaken him and had made offerings to other gods. And God said, "Therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched." It is to Josiah's credit that he still went forward with his reforms. He could have given up and just waited for God to bring his judgment, but he didn't. And sure enough, disaster did come upon them, but only after Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, killed Josiah in battle. So let's look at this. Josiah cleaned the place up, and he brought God's law back to Judah. So why didn't God turn from his wrath? Well, in my opinion, it's because God looks at the heart, not just the actions. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said that if you've thought of doing an unrighteous act, you have done the act. That's a rough paraphrase, of course. And God looked at the hearts of the people of Judah. And even though Josiah, whose heart was right, made the people follow the law through his authority as king, they still longed after those ungodly and idolatrous things that they used to do. Outwardly, they did right, but inwardly, they had not changed. One more thing. Did you know that death is not the worst thing that can happen to you? With the death of Josiah by Pharaoh Necho, God spared Josiah from seeing what was coming down on Judah. It was a merciful act on God's part, and it wasn't judgment against him. So now let's go to chapter 25. 860 years after Joshua led them into the Promised Land, the Jews lost it because of their failure to follow God's law. How many times had God told them, "If you will but turn from your wicked ways, I will restore you"? But time and again they went back to their sinful ways like a dog returns to his vomit. It is sad, but it's a sobering reminder that even though God is love, he is a righteous and holy God. Patience doesn't imply weakness or the condoning of evil. It doesn't indicate forgetfulness. When warning after warning is given and then ignored, it should not be a surprise when patience ends and judgment falls. Some Christians have a casual attitude regarding grace. They think that because God doesn't send fire from heaven, or He doesn't cause the ground to open up and swallow sinners, that He doesn't take sin seriously. They think that since Jesus paid it all, quote-unquote, then sin is no big deal. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Sin, my sin, your sin, all sin, is the reason that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition and then brutally nailed to a rough-hewn, splinter-filled wooden cross in the most brutal execution method ever designed by man. Do you honestly think that God is soft on sin? The only reason you and I don't have to face the consequences of our sin is because of the infinitely selfless sacrifice made by the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, the Son of Mary, the Son of the living God. Yes, He was and is God, but He was also human. The prospect of making that sacrifice was terrifying to Him. Reread the prayer at Gethsemane if you doubt that. And as He hung on the cross, He felt excruciating pain. Is God soft on sin? No, He's not. God's judgment, all of it, fell on Jesus that day. So the grace that brings forgiveness to me and to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, was not, and is not, cheap. Don't forget that, and always be thankful for it. If you've not yet given your life to Jesus, don't be like the Jews and think that God's patience with you means that He doesn't care, or He's not paying attention, or worse yet, that He isn't there. Think about it. The Jews were His chosen people. He loved them, but He brought severe judgment on them. The time eventually came when time was up and they were taken into captivity. Each of us will face the time where our time is up. It might come today, or tomorrow, next year, or 50 years from now. Each of us is working on finite time. Don't let that time run out before you accept the gift of grace offered by Jesus that He paid so dearly for. What are your thoughts? Leave a comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E216. Or write me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. If you'd like to know more about how to accept Jesus into your life, let me know. Our reading tomorrow will be Psalms 93 through 95.
Here's your cue to boost.
Boostagram.
Well, this morning some boosts came in from people that I haven't seen before. That's awesome. Thank you, and God bless you. The boost didn't come with names on them, so I don't know who you are, but I'm glad that you're here. So I'm thinking they probably heard me mention that maybe it's time to try out a new and better podcast app. Sure, you can still keep that quaint old legacy app that's been around forever. I get it. I've got some antiques in my home, too. And I've got some obsolete technology here in the LifeSpring Media Central studio. I'm looking at an old camcorder sitting on a shelf just 3 feet away. I keep it because it's the only way to play the videos we took of our kids when they were little. Do I use it to create videos now? Of course not. I could, but why would I? My phone takes better quality video now than the old camcorder ever could, and I can do so much more with it. Same with the new podcast apps over at newpodcastapps.com. What'll they do that your old legacy podcast app can't do? Well, you can see the new episode art I create for each new episode. You can stream and boost sats to your favorite podcasters, which is a way to participate in value for value, of course. And you can see transcripts as podcasts play, kind of like closed captioning. I publish transcripts for the episodes of this show, but they're not showing up right now for some reason. I'm working on that, and I'll get them working one way or another. And the new podcast apps can do more. So get a better podcast app at newpodcastapps.com.
Chapters, transcripts, images, links, stream micropayments to the podcast, and send Satoshis in real time over the Lightning Network using a compatible Podcasting 2.0 app. Just go to newpodcastapps.com. That's newpodcastapps.com. And for more info, go to podcastindex.org.
Boost!
On this date in church history, April 5th, 1922, Pandita Sarasvati Ramabai, an Indian Christian educator and reformer, passed away. During a severe famine in 1896, Sarasvati established an orphanage called Mukti Sadan, which means House of Salvation, for more than 300 women and children. She also supervised a Marathi translation of the Bible from Sanskrit. And hello to the Lifespring family members in India. I'm sure I probably really did not pronounce those names properly, and for that I apologize, but I'm so glad you're here. And on this date in church history, April 5th, 1953. In Washington, D.C., President Dwight D. Eisenhower inaugurated the Presidential Prayer Breakfast, later called the National Prayer Breakfast, and in 1956, he signed an act making In God We Trust the national motto. Well, Ike, good on you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord. We praise you for who you are and for what you've done for us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we take your grace for granted. It was far too costly for us to do that, and we are sorry for the times we have. Give us a new appreciation and a reverence for this most precious gift of your grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise that you'd like to share with the Lifespring family, you can do that at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E216. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And please support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support or stream and boost those sats using one of those new podcast apps. For those of you that already are, I thank you. God bless you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.